CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. We've made it to Thursday, which is terrific because the first week of the year, barring any stupid decisions on all of our behalves, we should be okay for the year. I'll tell you in a moment whether or not I'm going to make the end of the year, because I went for my annual checkup yesterday, which is always a fun thing to do at the start of the year. It's something I look forward to all year in my diary.
Oh.
A full annual with the physician. That's
yeah.
Really...
Uh-huh. The whole thing.
Ooh.
The whole shebang.
So you only go once a year?
Bulelo, you're a bit soft there. But yeah. No, you're once
he
a year.
If you only go once a year.
What do you mean? You voluntarily go to the doctor more than once a year to have a checkup?
No, I have a physical. So the doctor once, but physical checkup 3 times a year.
Really? Why
really?
So many?
Oh,
are you paranoid?
Oh, yeah. No, especially the way we live, Gareth, we're always sitting on couches and, like, you got to keep this machine well oiled.
It's
also because he's always running all over four ways.
You're probably hurting yourself, and therefore you need to go to the doctor more often than us.
No, but don't you want to know that your body's in, like, fine fettle all the time? This is the one thing you should keep in check.
This is a whole... I didn't know this is going to be so controversial, but we'll get to the discussion. Just not every
year. I didn't realize that was strange. I've been doing it for, like, 10 years.
No, you sound like one of those old people who likes going to the doctor.
Oh, no. No,
yes,
no. I had one in my house. I was in the womb of one for... No. I cannot stand doctors.
3 times a year. That seems excessive.
It seems a little paranoid, if you ask me. So, Pumi, how are you?
Hey, boys. New Year, same me.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
That's probably the most adult sensible thing I've heard since the 1st of January.
I'm not out here making big, like, resolutions. I think we've learned. We've learned from 2020. Just take it one day at a time, y'all. One day at a time.
Yeah. Sure. I think that's very good advice. After hearing that, we could pretty much finish the show, because that's really what people came for. Mm-hmm. So I think let's rip this up and all go back to sleep. Sure. Sia basically made it to the show this morning by the skin of his teeth, because there was load shedding. And his phone died, and he woke up at 2 a.m. and realized, like, there was no power. And he thought, oh, well, I'll have to just deal with this in the morning. What are you going to do?
And I'm proud of myself for not turning it into a Piglet 2.0 situation.
Yeah.
Because only for a few seconds, I contemplated, you know what, I actually don't need to sleep. I will figure out how I feel during the day. It's now 2 a.m. Let me just stay up until 5. And I thought, no.
Yeah, what the hell are you going to do that for? Plus, you know, like, there are... I used to know someone called Evelyn, and she used to have this thing on her wall. And it was some... I think it's from Proverbs. I don't know, because I'm not 100% sure on where it comes from. But I think it's in the Bible somewhere, and it's probably in Proverbs. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
And yes.
That is so sensible. That's like one of the most... wherever it's from, I certainly hope it's been
in court. It's also in the Alcoholics Anonymous head.
Is it? Okay, well, maybe that's where I know it from.
The Serenity Prayer.
But it's so good, and it's so true. You know who can't accept the fact that things are beyond his control? It seems to be that Donald Trump is... I mean, I don't know if you watched the news last night, but my God.
I went to bed yesterday, and there were less people at that Donald Trump rally than they are at Bay Bridge Plaza, right? At the Bay Bridge Plaza.
Yeah.
This morning I wake up and it's fucking mayhem. Capital.
I honestly can't understand how things got this out of control. And it seems, I want to believe that this is just a very strange aberration and all part of the 2021 story, but it's really just insane. And then his speech, I don't know if you saw what he had to say, but it was like something out of a I mean, if this is the season finale, they've really saved some of their best stuff for the last episode, because the season finale of Trump is one.
So I saw some of his, I saw some of his speech.
Yes.
First, when his microphone wasn't working.
Yeah.
And then when it came on,
I'm talking about when he addressed like the people and said, "Go home. I love you, but you got to go home." I was like, "What is this?"
But when he came on and there were like 1,000 people there, and he was saying, "Mainstream media is the problem we have in this country. They won't show you the hundreds of thousands of people out there, hundreds of thousands of people behind you." And like, I'm looking at the news, I'm going, "Hey, that's not hundreds of thousands." Yeah. But anyway, they came from all over the world. Well, all over the world.
This is what happened if you were sleeping, because I got woken up by, well, not woken up, I wasn't asleep yet, but I got this flurry of messages on WhatsApp from people saying, "Have you seen they stormed the Capitol building?" And I thought, what? So I went downstairs, I turned on the TV, and the only channel that were, that, where there weren't ads on at that very moment was CNN. So I went to CNN, and they were showing live footage from the Capitol of all these Trump supporters who were on the steps of the Capitol building, and they were breaking into the building with like...
They're inside the building.
Yeah, right. And there were flagpoles. And then it emerged that these people were in the House chamber and in the Senate chamber and in offices of... Yeah. It was chaos. I mean, it's just whatever this is probably the most ignominious exit of a president since the Civil War. I mean, you know.
All the social media platforms have suspended his account.
Yeah, I saw that Twitter and Facebook so far have done that.
And Instagram.
Yeah.
So you shocked, Gareth? Are people shocked that he's doing this?
I must tell you, I've tried to have a very open-minded attitude to all of this that's been going on in the US for a while now. I've thought, you know what? We live in an age of disinformation where the fact that social media exists means that disinformation is magnified. We have a completely strange human being in charge of the United States here, someone who, while powerful men have often been lunatics, this guy seems to be like flypaper for other lunatics as well, right?
Mm.
And I've tried to have a very... I'll use the term again, open-minded opinion of what's been going on, because American politics is weird, full stop. But this has been by far the weirdest election cycle I've ever seen in my life. There's been a lot about it that has made me very uncomfortable. And you know, I'm a fan of liberal democracy. I'm a fan of you know, the open market and American kind of liberty and freedom and all of that stuff. And I'm not going to apologize for any of that stuff. But I honestly watched this stuff unfolding last night at the Capitol, and I thought, there's no way that anyone seeing this could think that Donald Trump and his supporters, those people who pitched up at the Capitol and decided to... It was basically... I don't want to over-dramatize this, but... It was like an insurrection.
There's no way. There is no way to overdramatize what happened.
Yeah,
it already is a dramatic mess.
I mean, I watched this and I was like, you cannot still tell me after watching all of that stuff that this is A, normal, that this is B, part of a well-functioning democracy, or that C, it is ever okay for a bunch of lunatics and whoever these people are. They were undoubtedly, you know, Trump supporting, and therefore a huge part of the responsibility for this chaos has to rest on his shoulders. I'm quite horrified, actually.
Do you think Putin is sitting in the Kremlin going,
he's going, the plan is coming together. I'll tell you who else is winning is China, because I don't think Western democracy is falling apart. Can people just relax? I think it's stronger than this, but it's just the sort of superficial view of the world. You know, people live through that lens. Is China and the Kremlin are loving this. But my other thing is, for me, somebody like sent me a text and they were all shocked, and they're more on your side and all into liberal, and the American president's the most important person in the world. Gareth, I've heard you say that a couple of times. So they think like you. And I said, but listen, My father told me something when I was younger. He said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them the first time. Yeah. Stop looking for a Donald Trump showed you the first time, grab a woman by this. So you already knew what he was capable of.
But there were a lot of to win. But Mbulelo, because the kind of people who hated him at that stage were exactly the kind of people who I don't like, I felt sympathy to the man.
Your biases. No, yeah, you went into your feelings.
Of course. And it kicked in. And I'm willing to admit that that was probably the most stupid mistake I've made throughout this process. But I did believe that it was worth taking a distanced approach to this whole thing and trying to just figure it out soberly and sensibly without getting emotional about it. And I don't know if you've noticed, but ever since the election, we've hardly talked about it on the show because I felt like it's been almost a badly scripted play from there on. And it seems to me like there's just so much that America's got to deal with here. And they don't need my involvement to make it worse, because it just seems to me like this is a very bad for the reputation of the United States. This is very bad for the sensible transition of power from one administration to another. I mean, there's been a lot of disinformation and nonsense around everything from the start of this administration and even before that, obviously. We're all aware of the fact that fake news is nothing new. But it's so weird to me that you've got ordinary citizens storming the legislative building of the United States, and that some, you know, that there are still people who are hanging on to this crap. There's still people who think that come January the 20th or whatever the date is, that somehow some miracle is going to occur and their guy is going to end up being president of the United States. It's not going to happen, guys. Joe Biden's president. You got to make peace with that, and you've got to be adult about it. This is not good. And I don't care who you support. Watching this is just awful. It's a very, very bad end to an already controversial, messy, and not necessarily sensible administration. I think that this is very, very bad. And I was horrified. So I just went to sleep last night going, what the hell? I thought 2021 was going to be a chance for us to get rid of all this nonsense. Clearly not. So I'm just horrified. I really am. I don't know what to say about this. And America, a country I've always held in high esteem, seems to be doing its damnedest, and the people of the United States are doing their damnedest to ruin whatever international credibility they have and to ruin the faith of people like me by outrageous scenes like this that we just shouldn't be seeing this on TV in a modern, sensible world. Clearly, the world is not sensible. This is my big realization. It's like, oh, shit, even in Washington, D.C., it's a clusterfuck.
And what the city and what that building means and what we now all see. In a weird way, when I saw those images and the footage, I just thought of, oof, think about what the future will say about this moment.
I'm proud of you, Sia, because I thought you would be worried about where Melania was and what she was wearing.
Oh, darling, she could not be bothered. Seeing this, there was a guy with the lectern over his shoulder. He was actually smiling at the camera.
And apparently they broke into Nancy Pelosi's office, and there's this really bizarre picture of a guy with like fur on.
And his feet on the desk.
And he's got tattoos. I mean, whoever these people are, they are not stable people. Mm-mm. You know? Mm-mm. It's just crazy.
This is going to make the history books, and we will be judged by this.
I just want you to know that those people are a small representation of the 70 million Americans voted Trump again.
No, because now you've got to be careful. You can't contradict yourself. You said only a couple
small representation.
No. Yeah, but no, you can't say that the couple of thousand people that pitched up in Washington and behaved this badly and did this stupid stuff represents the other seven.
They're the extreme.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, that's like me saying that the BLM and Antifa people are the only people who supported Joe Biden. I mean, I think we've got to maintain some distance from this and go, look, I'm sure 70 million people aren't crazy, but those couple of thousand who were there are absolutely insane.
Yeah, that
was
why
my words are a small representation of some of those.
Yeah,
people.
But I don't like them even being called a representation. That would be like, you know, when the EFF stormed Parliament in South Africa, then people going, oh well, you know that. Well, that's black people in South Africa who support the EFF. That's not true either.
But then the question is, where do we go from here now?
I don't
it'll
know.
It'll be fine. This isn't the first disaster of a president that America's ever had. So you know, we have something called recency bias in psychology. This is not the first. Yes, this is not ideal, but America's had bad presidents before. They've had disasters before. They've had Capitol Hill storms before. Like, well, we'll be all right. Don't worry about it. I think American democracy, if for one thing, and I'm not into America, rah, rah, but it is a resilient beast and has been now for over two centuries. I don't think we should panic.
I hope you're right, because I think now, really, I can't wait to see the back of Donald Trump after this. I'm like, you know what,
I'm quite looking forward to what happens on the 20th now.
Oh, there's going to be huge security. Can you imagine?
Because then, you know, the Capitol's open again for people to come in and support and demonstrate.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fascinating to see. Of course, there'll be huge security, but there'll still be some, there're going to be clashes on the streets.
I'm sure. This is not going to change. And there's going to be noise in all the urban centers of America for a long time going forward. I'm just sad because I maybe had expectations that were unrealistic. Anyway.
No, yeah, what I've settled into accepting now is that this is all going to get played out in a political manner. There's not going to be one person or group of people who go, actually, what is best for the country? Yes, let's do that. No. Biden has shown, as he has already, that it's a moment to take a stab at Trump and his supporters, and it will be a political thing, and that is how it will all roll out, you know. But just for progress as people overall, I don't think this is going to do anything for us.
I must say that I'm a little bit sad that all his social media has been suspended, at least for like 12 hours, they say. Because I would have liked to use this morning as an appeal to all of our listeners, everybody here, that we should all tweet Donald Trump and ask him to pardon the Tiger King. Because
he's gotten the Tiger King.
I think we should all spam him.
You're on your own.
But
he should be pardoned, guys. He should be pardoned.
No. Yeah.
It's incredible stuff. So
Tiger King also reached out to Kim Kardashian. I think this happened just before we went on the break.
Her own problems right now.
Okay. Yes.
We're getting a lot of people who are very pleased to see Pumi in landscape because she's not using... Are you using your tablet or have you just found a new way of doing it?
No, I'm using a Mac. I'm using an iMac.
Oh.
I'm using the biggest screen ever. I mean, this computer's got a bigger screen than the TV I have.
That's incredible. That's because you look great, and people are complimenting you on how fantastic you look to start the year.
Well done. Because I did think that I'm not going to allow myself to continue being like viewed as some kind of old school granny.
Oh,
up in people's faces, half my nose. No. People. I'm not an amateur.
Well, we like it. We lots of compliments. Morning, everybody. And Rian's watching us from Iraq. We're funnily enough, they have a more stable government than the United States at the moment. Daryl says, I know that's unrelated. Tracy says, that serenity prayer is actually the motto from Alcoholics Anonymous, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, 2021. Now we can see Sis Pumi in a proper landscape camera view. Still looking gorgeous. That's from Kabel. Okay.
Yeah, thank you, 2020.
And Bojo Johnson has smoked his socks and gone full tyrannical communist, issuing police orders to arrest people who are in groups bigger than two and issuing fines for non-mask wearing. People cannot carry on like this in a modern democratic world. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Boris Johnson is smoking, but I mean, this is lockdown number three in the UK, and lockdown one and two didn't work. So I don't know what they think is, you know what they say, the definition of an idiot or someone stupid is
insanity.
Insanity is doing the same thing more than once and expecting a different result. And he's done this three times now. You know, if lockdown didn't work the first time, and Britain's been probably one of the hardest hit countries in the world, now they're going into it for a third time. I mean, what does he want to do? Train snipers on people who walk outside of their front door? What would he like to do next? It's not working.
So he's a lunatic. I once saw him live, and it was just, he's an absolute, he's a caricature of a human being. He once spoke Jesus. He's unbelievable. But what I'm interested in is, do you think people from this, because you always want to take, especially from the greatest suffering, is a teaching moment.
Sure.
Is for me, this is why I always say, I don't care how people feel. I care what's true. Do you think we'll get closer to stop picking people you like? Pick grown-ups.
No, it's not going to change, Bulelo. And also, because people decide, even with this, I mean, here's a message from Andre who says, guys, why is everyone taking the SABC approach to this? Let's suppose for a second Donald has lost the plot. What if some of these lunatics were paid and planted there to drive a final nail in his coffin? You see, this is the conspiracy theory stuff.
Oh, so, my goodness.
I mean, you know, Andre, to be fair, I mean, there would have been a time where I might have said, okay, there's a possibility for that. But this whole thing is, I mean, the fact that he didn't say anything for the first hour or two of this chaos unfolding, he just watched it from the West Wing, and then eventually made this very soft kind of, go home, I love you, you're great people, you're real patriots, the election was stolen from us, but go home. Like, not helping, not helping the situation. There is no way you can misinterpret that message from him. It means, basically, yes, I'm all the terrible things that they've been calling me for the last while, because I can't even reflect on how to be a leader at this point. And I got to tell you, Joe Biden's statement, while C is absolutely right that it was a perfect opportunity for him to take a dig at Trump, and he did, Joe Biden's statement just seemed adult by comparison. I'm horrified. I don't know what to say about this. And for those people who've been going at me for a long time saying, oh, but you know, you've been far too favorable to Trump and all the rest of it, I know what you're doing now. You're saying, I told you so. And I probably deserve that. So, I mean, I'm also learning, you know, we're all learning. But this is such unprecedented nutcase behavior from all these people who storms the Capitol?
But that gives you credibility in my eyes, is a lot of people are left and right are so entrenched in their position, they'll go, oh, no, this isn't Trump. But for you to be able to say that, no, I was wrong about this lunatic, that gives you credibility. You, that says a wise man should always change his mind.
I'm sorry. If you wake up this morning and you're still coming up with theories that these are actually paid Antifa people who are posing as Trump supporters, I mean, you are jumping through so many mental hoops in order to keep your narrative alive at this point. I can't.
And also, I can't. Andre's conspiracy theory. I mean, come on, dude. Listen, in the 80s, maybe it's cool to put in a movie, but now we know how insidious the governments are around the world in terms of tracking each and every piece of data that leaves our cell phones. You are not planning storming the Capitol Hill. That's not happening without the CIA, FBI, Interpol getting on that. There is no way. Not in 2020. In 1980, perhaps.
Well, let's see what happens.
I'm with Kentani on this one. I'm watching all these scenes and I'm going, where are the police?
So did you hear what happened?
Like,
I was watching one of the old, I think, police commissioners or something. I don't know if you saw this, was that he said, look, Capitol Hill at all times has about 2,000 police constantly on guard. And he said he was shocked at how quickly they were overpowered. So number one, he thought these people aren't trained. Because there is no way Capitol Hill should be overrun that quickly was what he said, also, which was like, really interesting.
I just have to ask, if anybody was quietly supporting what they saw on Capitol Hill last night or yesterday afternoon in America, I have to ask you what, again, you think the best possible outcome of this crazy situation might have been. What would carrying Nancy Pelosi's head around on a stick after you've beheaded her, would that have been satisfactory victory conditions for the people who did this.
Don't plant ideas in their heads.
No, but did you think this was going to end? I mean, how did you think this was going to go? You stormed the Senate and what? This is like 1776 all over again? Come on. I mean, it's madness.
And there's somebody has died. You know that, right?
Yeah, apparently a woman was shot or something in the chest. Jesus. Well, you know, look, also, let's just prepare ourselves because the other side of the argument, the people who've been foaming at the mouth about Donald Trump for 4 years, people on CNN and MSNBC and at the New York Times, those people are going to be feeding on this for weeks. And they're not going to let this go either, which is it's going to become as annoying as someone in a fur hat with horns on it standing on the desk in the Senate. This is going to become as big a problem as the media reaction of like, yeah, look, you see, we told you. Because I know that people like Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper and Anderson Cooper, these are the kind of people who go, this is just manner to their you know.
Any fears of Lee Harvey Oswald now in terms of Biden? Because I tried to text the daughter of a man who was the most recently assassinated president, and unfortunately she didn't get back to me. And I asked her if she has any fears, and yeah, I was hoping she'd have gotten back to me by now. But
what do you mean, trying to assassinate Biden? I mean, I always thought that like more people would have tried to assassinate Trump during his presidency, but no one did.
Mm. I think maybe stories like that will come out after he's left the office, because over the break, and I was watching some interviews that former President Obama was doing around his book, and in his memoir, he reveals that there were some threats for his first inauguration, and actually just at the first inauguration, he had, or before he went on stage, already received notes from the Secret Service of what to do if there's any sort of an explosion or an attack. So I was like, you know, whether this is real or not, we'll never know because it didn't happen. It makes a great story for the pages of his book. But I thought, imagine the visuals and like everyone is getting so excited and turned up for you. And here you are in the pocket of your suit jacket. You have, oh, shucks. So someone is planning on killing me. Yeah. And this is what I need to do.
No, listen. And I mean, the whole thing to me is just there's going to be lots of information that will come out now because we've got cameras all over Capitol Hill as well. So we're going to be able to identify these people and hopefully, you know, we find out exactly who they were and what their motive was. And we get to find out because nobody was arrested by the looks of things yesterday, although that also could be untrue. Let's see what happens. We've got time to figure this out.
One final superficial point from me, though.
Yes.
Can I please just have a decent inauguration? Please, please. I just want Biden to drive up to the White House. I want to see him and Trump have to shake hands. I want to see Melania and Dr. Jill have to air kiss, and we know they don't like each other. Right. And you know what I want? Just a final cherry on top. I want Trump to say, oh, Biden, come and ride in the car with me to the inauguration. Oh,
no, I don't think that's
that means the most to me.
I don't think
what
Donald
are you talking
Trump
about? They didn't even show up for the like because the things that are mandatory, right? Well, it's a tradition they have, is that the first family welcomes the elect into the White House, show them around. Trump didn't show up. They didn't show up for the Obamas to do that. So like, what are you talking about? They're not doing it for the Bidens. They're not going to be standing there civilly next to the helicopter waiting to, you know, they're not going to do that. These ones are going to be, I'm sorry for you, it's going to be petty till the end.
Yeah,
we already passed ridiculous. I'd love Joe to just pitch up with Cardi B. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen like how boxers come out. I'd love for him to Cardi B, T-Pain, come out full hood. Not even bring his wife.
No,
just
can
bring...
we not? No, I don't want a caricature again. We've had 4 years of nutcase behavior. Let's just have someone boring and senile.
No, Joe's an adult. Like him or not, he's your typical. I know you think he's beyond adult, Gareth, and he's cross. He's basically a walking.
But I'm
imagine if Cardi performs at the inauguration.
That'll be so lit, dude.
I'm not looking for lit. We've had enough excitement in 2020. Let's have a quiet year, please. So here are some news headlines from the rest of the world, because there's actually quite a lot of stuff going on at the moment. The bodies of two people were retrieved from a sewage pit at the V&A waterfront in Cape Town. They made the grim discovery on Tuesday night. It's understood that they are maintenance workers who died while working in the pit behind the Table Bay Hotel. First body was retrieved. This is it. First body was retrieved at 10:23 p.m., the second one just after midnight. Scene was handed over to the South African police for further investigation. But these guys must have fallen in and drowned. Can you imagine dying like that? That's got to be the worst way to go, right?
Sure. Oof. Wow. Yeah, drowning.
How long have they been under there?
Who knows? But I mean, it sounds like it maybe happened and they tried to rescue them and the rescue was... So it could have all happened within a space of hours yesterday. I don't think that they discovered these bodies that had been there for years, because people don't just go missing.
From work.
Yeah, from work.
Yeah, somebody must notice when you don't clock in.
Right.
Or out.
Right.
What if the boss was trying to make sure that they disappear?
Oh, there's a conspiracy theory. Do you also think that those people who stormed the Capitol work for George Soros? Because it sounds like you're up for that stuff, Sia.
Just never know the plotation of the situation.
Well, if you like conspiracies, the Bushiris are still in the news. Because the Lilongwe Magistrates Court has ordered the formal hearing of the extradition process for self-proclaimed prophet Shepherd Bushiri and his wife Mary that is going to start in March. A couple appeared in court on Wednesday after the Malawian government returned to the court seeking a warrant of arrest for the two. They fled from South Africa after their release on bail of 200,000 rand each in November. Now, I don't know if you'd be able to just drum up 200,000 rand. I would have trouble doing that. I think a lot of people would, but not the Bushiris. They have so much money.
They have so many people willing to like save Papa.
Yeah. From aid and abet them.
Yeah. No,
did you saw the news just before New Year's that they booked the stadium to have their big crossover miracles, whatever, into the New Year. And then whoever they paid the deposit to, which was a ridiculous amount of kwachas, that went missing. They just went missing. Because they had a poster out, the president was going to be at the stadium with Bushiri, and then there was a statement coming out of the presidency that, no, this is not happening. We don't know anything about this. And then they tried to cancel the event and get their deposit back, and the deposit had just disappeared.
Let's 5 million kwachas gone.
Yeah, who would have thought 2021 would be sitting here saying the American president is more ridiculous than a guy who ran away from South Africa as a false prophet? Like, who would have thought that those words would be possible?
I want to get all these people who made an extra stupid 2020 and put them on an island and let them fight to the death, Hunger Games style, because I've just had enough of like the bad outliers in society taking us down paths we don't need to go down.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, listen, I mean, all of this is happening while we've got a pandemic on the go, which hasn't abated and, in fact, seems to be ramping up in all kinds of places. Anyway, Julian Assange is also in the news. He is going to remain in jail. He continues to fight his extradition between him and Shepherd Bushiri. People want to stay where they are instead of go anywhere. District Judge Vanessa Baraitza in the UK said there were substantial grounds to believe he would abscond. On Monday, she ruled the WikiLeaks founder cannot be extradited to the US because he might kill himself. But they're now appealing that decision. That's the United States government, and had opposed the release of the 49-year-old from a maximum security prison before the case is heard. He appeared wearing a dark suit and a face mask, was not seen to react. Although, how can you tell if anyone's reacting with masks on these days? He's been held in prison since 2019 after hiding for several years inside the Ecuadorian embassy to avoid extradition. So we'll have to see what happens with Julian Assange.
Do you think he can ever have a normal life?
Yeah, he could move to the Kremlin, Snowden and those guys get protected there. Sweden takes on people like this. So if he's...
But a life where he never has to look over his shoulder, I don't think so. I don't think he'll ever have peace.
So here's a story you'll love, Sia. Apparently, a Buckingham Palace kitchen assistant has been jailed for 8 months after admitting to stealing medals, official photos, and other items and selling them on eBay.
What a hero.
Adamo Kanto, who's 37, was released in court on Monday after pleading guilty to 3 counts of theft from November 2019 to August 2020. Police say they recovered a significant quantity of stolen items when they searched his staff quarters in Buckingham Palace, where he'd worked as a catering assistant since 2015. The goods were up to worth up to £100,000 in total.
What?
That's a lot of stuff.
What?
Yeah.
What a hero. What a hero.
They included two prestigious medals, a photo album showing images of the Queen's State Banquet from 2019 with Donald Trump. And he was reportedly desperate for money to pay off debts and was also said to have stolen a limited edition pocket watch and a Samsung mobile phone made specially for Prince Andrew. Ooh, oh, who doesn't want to get hold of that Samsung phone?
Just for your own amusement.
You should sell that. You'll get more than £100,000 for that.
I know some people who would pay for that.
See, so his mistake or their mistake was selling it now, as opposed to holding on to it for a while.
Except the debts are there now. He needs to pay the debts now.
Sia Kensani saying you're super idealistic if you think that Joe Biden and Donald Trump would shake hands and he'll leave a little note on the Oval Office desk like, you know, the president's been doing for 250 years. Kensani,
I'm very basic. These are the things that just make my heart pump custard. Just quickly on the Royals, if you aren't interested, get ready to roll your eyes. But one of the things I watched over the break was a documentary on the team that put together and filmed Lady Diana's interview with Martin Bashir back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah?
You know, where she goes on and just badmouths Charles and the rest of them.
That was where she said,
and was first,
there was another woman. And she was like playing the people's princess. Yes, Charles will make,
she was right.
Charles will make God a damn terrible it, she was right. King. Yeah.
There's three of us in this thing. God. Anyway, it just proved to me how petty one can go. And just interesting, though, to see how it all came to be, because it was put together in secret, and just how the crew was called and how they were given special entrances to get into when they got to the palace. Yeah, and where to park to avoid the cameras. So even no one was in the know. It was called the Diana interview, the Revenge of a Princess, if someone is interested in watching. It was very interesting.
Only you would watch that, Sia. No, you and a couple of million people.
It sounds ridiculous. How long until we get rid of these stupid things like the Queen Elizabeth matter? When are we casting them aside? We don't need them. They are dead.
Yeah, but
they belong to the 12th
century.
Can
I tell you something, Bulelo? You haven't suggested a better replacement for that kind of thing. Because
for what? They don't do anything.
No,
for what?
I mean, if anyone in the world has maintained her dignity and played and played a useful part in the affairs of the world over the last 80 years that she's been in public view, it's been the Queen. At least she's been admirable. There hasn't been anything like that in elected politics. And I'm sorry, I'd give me her over any of the bullshit we're seeing in the United States at the moment, any day of the week.
Do you know how much they contribute to the tourism industry of the UK?
Oh, my God. I will never have that argument. Do me a favor. Like, we can replace tourism. Please. We could replace Buckingham Palace's income. Like, listen, build a football stadium there tomorrow. No, I promise you, 6 billion people will go and visit.
You keep your football and we'll keep the Queen. Thank you.
All right.
God, you already have Anfield or whatever it's called.
Sia and Pumi and I would rather have the Queen by the side of things.
God bless the Queen.
Right.
Exactly. God bless her. She's steal nothing and just use all the taxpayers' money and never work in your life. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Can we do a weekly Prince Philip watch at least? You know, at 100, I'm
He's turning 100 in June, and the reports are that he doesn't want any fuss made over turning 100. He doesn't want a celebration of any kind. He doesn't want anyone making any efforts at all, but he is going to get a telegram from the Queen to say happy 100th birthday, because everyone in the United Kingdom, when they turn 100, the Queen sends him a telegram to say happy 100th birthday. So he's going to get one of those too, and that's all he wants.
Between him and former President Jimmy Carter, I really want a watch. Just to at least someone to go up to them, just feel the pulse. Okay, they're still here.
See, who's got Prince Philip on their death pool? Because he's not worth a lot of points. He's 100, which means 0 points.
He'll start deducting points if he lives.
I think it's me. I think I've got him on my list. Very excited. So he's pulling up the
I'll let you know in a bit.
He's dusting off the old death
pool. Are you
pool.
Pulling up the death pool?
No. We've got it there for me. We've got a digital copy because we used to keep it on paper and we lost it somewhere in the studio. So we've now got a digital version. Oh, my God.
Prince Philip. Yes, Gareth, you have it.
Yeah, good. Well, it's not going to be.
You have it. Imagine you have him.
Yeah, well, it's worth 1 point to me, so it's not even that good. All right, we've got to talk about this because you know we're live again. It's been a couple of days, so my mother figured out how to use this program that we're on, this webinar jam that you're able to view us, not just hear us on. And she was very critical. She says, "I'm fidgeting the whole time. I'm always reaching for something." I said to her, "But that's what I've been doing on the show for years. There's stuff going on. I'm checking news as it comes in and seeing what's happening in the studio. I'm not on TV. I'm not looking at the camera the whole time." So this really bothered her. And I suppose for many people, it's a bit weird. But we've been doing this almost a year. It'll be a year in March that we've been doing the show in this way. Crazy.
That's a big milestone.
Yeah, it is a big milestone. It's just bizarre,
in the history of the show as well, because we don't have pictures with our guests anymore.
No.
Yeah, Gareth, having worked with you for a year, I'm trying to imagine your mom trying to give you critical feedback of what you look like. I'm trying to imagine that scene and how it goes. It warms the cockles of my heart.
She's not impressed with our production quality. She thinks that I look too distracted. She says sometimes the guests don't have great internet, so she's very disappointed. I don't know if she's going to come back and watch again live.
Oh wow.
And I'm sure you're loving all of that. You're just sitting there quietly the whole time.
Well, I mean, you know, what am I going to do? Say to her, you know, thanks very much. That's great feedback. And
I'll
just
put it in the suggestion
would that kill
box.
You? Would that kill you to just be kind to your mother?
No, because I have a go back at my mother when she gives me feedback. So I'd be interested to see what.
Yeah, but your relationship with your mother is just a little bit weird.
Yeah, no, it is. It is ridiculous, actually. Well said.
So, I mean, Sia, you mentioned Jimmy Carter, former president. Yeah. He's still alive. I mean, he was president before Ronald Reagan. That's how old he is. And he's still alive.
I love it.
Yes. Yes.
Bless their hearts. I love the fact that they had to release a statement to say we will not be attending the inauguration. At 96, we don't even expect you to put on pants anymore, sir. Mm-hmm. You know,
listen here, they're 26-year-old that stopped putting on pants last year in March.
Right. So I got to ask you this because it's not an age thing. We're all living in a sort of weird. I suddenly had this realization yesterday. I finished the show in the morning and I was doing some exercise and, you know, sorting out my list of things to do for the day. And I suddenly realized, like, this is how retired people are. And it was a scary thought because I'm nowhere near retirement age, but I'm like, is this what retirement feels like? Where you look at the day and I had a doctor's checkup. I felt like such an old person yesterday because I had my medical. I woke up early, which old people love to do. I was pottering around the house, which old people love to do. I did what we did the show and I had two or three meetings yesterday, but you know, I didn't feel like I was busy. And I was like, oh God, this is like what early retirement feels like. I'll never retire.
The one thing you didn't say, which would have guaranteed that you're retired, is you listen to your 4 o'clock stories on the radio, on the wireless.
Well, I was listening to...
You probably listened to a podcast.
I was listening to an audiobook yesterday. I'm trying to I'm trying to read more. So yes, that probably counts. Then I'm officially in retirement. That's so sad.
So you know what? I must tell you, I feel sorry for these people. Sorry, Pumi, is people that don't have hobbies. Like, luckily for me, I was inducted into hobbies early, you know. So I've always got something to do. If you're into, I feel like right now, I feel so sorry for people if you didn't play like sport or anything in school, where you know you can develop that hobby even without other people.
Yeah,
you know, I have running, but I've realized a lot of people don't have hobbies. Like, they need a working structure for their life to matter for 8 hours a day.
Oh, no, this is a big problem.
I actually, sorry, I don't even know how to compute that in my brain. Like, what do they do on a weekend? What do they
Pumi,
do
there
on
are people,
a
holiday? So there
are lots of people.
So there are people who filled that gap in their life that to you doesn't make any sense. And they filled it with social stupidity and like, you know, going for lunch at a restaurant. That was like, it gave them meaning. And now obviously you can't do that so much. Well, sorry, Sia, I didn't mean you.
But I stand up for that because honestly,
but
I've never been a person who has hobbies. So now the past couple of months have been interesting to go, what are we going to do now for 3 hours?
What do you do to fill the time? Because we all have a little bit more time on our hands than we had before. And I'm lucky. I've got lots of hobbies. I've got lots of interests. And I know Pumi has too, and Bulelo. But
dude, there is not enough time in my life to get to all the stuff I really want to do.
Yeah, I feel that way.
I'm lucky. I'm lucky I have, you know, good relationships with people around me. So it's talking to my sisters, talking to my friends. But yeah, I've never been a person to love crafts. I don't do DIY. I don't...
But none of that.
You have nothing that's yours, huh? So yeah, you can't be away from people for 9 days and it's absolutely cool. Because not because you need your face time and a face mask. I mean, something that you're, I knew where you were going, but I meant like.
But I think we've moved into a category further than the category I was bringing up earlier. This feeling that I suddenly had, this terrifying feeling that, oh my God, is this what retirement feels like? Because even before you get to hobbies and things, which I agree with Mbulelo on and with Pumi, the fact is like we need to have enough to do work-wise. Because otherwise you don't have a purpose, right? And I think that the reason that so many people get old quickly and deteriorate and start, you know, feeling themselves slipping away mentally, physically, and all of those things is because they don't have enough to do that is meaningful and purposeful that they can, you know, and it's not just about earning money. I mean, a job really has to be something that you get up for and you go to and you have some enthusiasm for, even if you don't have to have enthusiasm for all the parts of your job. But man, I would hate to wake up every day.
But you're a part of something.
Yes, correct.
You're building something.
Yeah. So I feel the same way as many people, I think, about the fact that this year has stolen away for some of us that feeling of being part of a business, part of a workspace, seeing people regularly every day at the same time. Those routines, as boring as they can be some of the time, I think we've all learned to appreciate them a bit more.
You beat me to it, Gareth. I've been witnessing a lot of my friends, and I've been thinking about this for a while now, is I now know the people that are going to age badly. I've seen them now, especially those that are close to me.
Yeah.
Like, I can see what you eat, because I think I've said this to you privately, maybe, Gareth. By the way, the body you have at 40 is the body, and it's only going to get worse, 65. So you're already telling me what you think of yourself. Whatever you are at 30, you better believe that at 65, it's going to be twice as bad as it. The body you have at 40 is the body you're going to have at 60. So already I see a lot of my friends, and I'm like, oh my God, this is how you're going to age. It's going to be a disaster for you. it's going to be a disaster. And I feel for them. Well, honestly, without being trying to be sanctimonious, it's actually two people. And I thought, oh my God, and I love these people. But I thought, this is going to be a train smash.
Yeah. Well, there's some. Listen, the world's a bit of a train smash at the moment. So, who are you looking to? Who are you looking to keep things sensible? I go for my my checkup with a doctor, not because I'm worried that there was something wrong. In fact, I've had a pretty healthy year in 2020. I didn't really have any major issues apart from self-inflicted harm when I've cut myself with a knife making avocado salad or something stupid like that.
I now want to call them the wretched 4 kgs you always talk about. Oh, yeah, either 4 kgs up or 4 kgs down, but that's so you.
I went to my local GP and I said to him, all right, just do the whole check. And I'm gonna have to send in blood tests, which just checks glucose and all that kind of thing. So that should be a fairly easy process. But he put me on the treadmill and made me walk and made me run. And I mean, it was a pretty good cardio expedition, which I came out of with a healthy ECG. So I'm happy about that. But I've got bad news for those people who do not like me. I'm in good shape. I'm not dying this year. As long as I don't run in front of a bus, I'll be okay.
You know, Dr. Robert just sent a message, which I absolutely love. And a wise mate of mine has this to say: for men, nothing good happens after 80. For women, it's after 85. And as a medical person, I can corroborate this. You have to hit that decade in the best possible condition.
Yeah, I think that's so right.
Yeah, Dr.
Well, that's part of my thinking too, is I agree with Robin, I agree with Mbulelo. You got to actually do what you say, not just say you're going to get there. Like all these resolution people, you know, and you're seeing them now on social media too. Like New Year, New Me. And Pumi started the show this morning by going, New Year, same me, which I think is like, that's really the best thing you can do. But if you don't like you and you're going to spend the rest of this year complaining about it, please don't tell us about it. I don't want to know.
So I do have to tell you this little story about my grandmother, speaking of over 80-year-olds. Mm-hmm. My grandmother's 95. And it's been incredible to watch how in the past 3 years, and I was just looking at photos over the 3 years, guys, the photos from 2017, mm-hmm. and the person that she was in 2017 to the person that she was on Christmas Day 2020, mm-hmm. It's incredible how quickly you can just deteriorate.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Ugh.
And she's still, you know, so she actually has a low blood pressure, mm-hmm. which means she has had a lot of like swelling at extremities, but her heart rate is currently 40 beats a minute. Her resting heart rate is a normal person's is around like 65.
Yeah,
is a normal. And that's it. She's just, and there's absolutely nothing else wrong with her. So when she's awake, she still has a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. It's just that because she's just tired, because her heart is tired. And a couple of years ago, about 10 years ago, when her heart rate started slowing down and the doctor said she needs a pacemaker. And her retort was, she doesn't need a pacemaker. Her heart's been working all her life. And if it's tired, it's tired. Mm. She doesn't need anything to wake it up. She just let, if it's tired and it stops, it's tired and stops.
You know, this is also why I think you've got to take like a completely disconnected, almost like imagine aliens watching the craziness of 2020 and the beginning of 2021 from space and going, this is a great show, and eating their popcorn. But if you take the objective view that humans are not designed to live forever, and that's what so much of this pandemic, you know, I see people like they're trying to prolong organic life. But there are a lot of old people who go, well, if it's my time, it's my time. And I think those people are so sensible. Those are the real stoics. Those are the real the wise elders among us who are like, well, you know what? don't put me on a ventilator at 95. If I'm not going to make it through COVID, then that's how I go. And they're not trying to prolong their life forever, because they realize also, like, you know, your grandmother says, Pumi, your heart has been working for 100 years. If it's going to stop working, let it stop working. And if it does push me through, that's great.
That's great wisdom. I mean, but I don't think we can let this hour go without really saying, I feel for the real victims in this, which are the people, the Capricorns, you know, they paid a psychic 4,000 Rand last year, and he told them they're going to find love and have lots of money by January. Those are the victims, and I think we want to pay homage to them.
Yeah, okay. On that ridiculous astrological note, let's call this first hour quits. We've got the burning platform coming up in a little while, and we will talk about this pandemic because we haven't addressed it very much in the first couple of days of this year, and there's still a story going on. And I know that we've got rates of infection, which the government are reporting are sky high, and we're currently in lockdown level 3, and until the 15th, I think it is. So next week sometime, when Cyril will address us again, they had an NCCC meeting yesterday, there's lots to talk about. And if you've got something that you'd like to say, please, we want to hear from you. So let us know on 079-748-2090. Pumi's here, Mbulelo's here, Sia's here, and I'm here to take your calls and to hear from you. You can also message us directly on Webinar Jam if you're watching live. Everything on cliffcentral.com if you need to follow the instructions. But get hold of us. Tell us what you're up to and what you're thinking this morning. It is 7 o'clock. On cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.